And welcome back to the ring. I, of course, am your host, the one and only, yes, yes, it's me, Dr. B.O.B., and with me, as always, the consigliere of the Dr. Bob Medical Practice, the man who will let you know if you get hit in the eye with glass at a wrestling show, you should not expect it, and you can sue, the one and only Rob the Lawyer. How are you, Rob?
Good, you just took away my entire segment. That's literally what I was planning on talking about for that segment.
Well, I mean, no, we're going to get into that.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you literally just summed it up.
Well, you know, I'm sorry, Rob.
It's okay.
I was trying to be funny. I couldn't think of anything.
No, you were good. You were good.
The man who will get you $10 million a year for a 3% boost in your viewership.
That can't be a real contract.
We gotta start off there. I mean,
yeah.
Of all the things we got to talk about, we've got to start off with apparently. Okay, so Mercedes Moné, Sasha Banks, made her AEW debut last night to the sound of a popcorn fart, because that's about how impressive it was. The crowd seemed into it, but the announcers no-sold it like it was a Canadian destroyer. And she said basically the exact same thing Paige said when she came in, and that was pretty much it. Was it as underwhelming for you as it was for me?
I just love I when she came out, I thought this was going to be a very meta approach to her character, mm-hmm. and I say that for many reasons. One, so people were making a big deal about her interview that she basically said, oh, she's going to go back to the WWE one day is what she wants to do. Mm-hmm. And they were making, you know, people were commenting on that, but she also in her interview said, like, you know, the Sasha Banks character is done for now. You know, WWE owns it. So, you know, that was a time in my life that I enjoyed. And, you know, I'm not quoting her, I'm just summarizing, but she, yeah. You know, she basically made it seem like that was the end of it. Mm-hmm. And then she comes out with the same character, but now instead of the boss, she's the CEO. And where it starts to become meta is, so fans always, or I shouldn't say fans, the IWC always makes fun of WWE for piping in crowd chants. And yet, what did you have? You had an introduction, you had her theme music with fake crowd chants.
Yeah.
No, it's like, okay, that's, oh, okay, we're making fun of the WWE now. That's their MO. That's great. That's they're leaning into it. And then she comes out and she's doing the same gestures she would do as Sasha Banks. She had the same, the only thing different about her on this that I could tell is her hairstyle.
Yeah.
I don't think she really wore that.
Crying.
Oh yeah. I didn't understand how her character was any different from Sasha Banks. And I'm not saying it had to be. I'm just saying you made a big deal in your interview saying that this was a new chapter. You're going to reinvent yourself.
She's the CEO. She's not the boss.
It's the same thing. I don't care what anyone says. It's really the same thing.
Her and Tony are going to have a fight over who the boss is.
Yeah. And then eventually the EVPs will have to have a fight too, because they think they're the boss.
Oh, yeah. Well,
is that where this is leading?
Yeah, that's the big long-term storytelling in AEW. Who's the boss?
Yeah.
Special guest referee Tony Dance.
I don't think he's desperate enough to come run that show.
That's pretty bad.
But I don't know. I mean, I'm glad she's there. I'm glad she wants to be there from what she's saying now in her promo. You know, that's really it. I thought. And I didn't check the charts on this. I saw the ratings come up, and like I think there was 801,000.
Yes.
But I didn't see. I know they like to do that whole little infograph where they show, you know, if it went up, went down, stuff like that. I didn't see if her being on it drew in more viewers or anything like that.
She was in the first segment, so that first 15 minutes gets that Big Bang Theory boost too, because the Big Bang Theory overruns by 2 minutes.
Unless you're my mother-in-law who turns it off right after.
Yeah.
No, I'm being serious. She watches wrestling, and she, every time Big Bang Theory ends on Wednesday night, she flips the channel the minute the promos, the introduction to AEW Dynamite turns on.
So, I mean, it's I don't know how falsely inflated it is or not. They hit 1 million in the first quarter. of an hour, the first 15 minutes, and then it
And then it went
immediately
down.
drops to like 750,000, 800,000, and it
While she's still
never
doing it.
gets back up above 850,000. Well, no,
Is that what?
the second quarter was, I think, the Samoa Joe match.
Oh,
Or
geez.
them talking about the Samoa Joe match. Yeah. So, and it never,
See.
and the women's match at the end, like 500 and something,
Ouch.
600,000. Yeah.
Ouch. That's not
So
good.
ratings don't matter this week.
Yeah. Not as a demo.
The
You know
ratings don't
what?
matter. Demos don't matter. The audience size doesn't matter. The ticket sales don't matter.
It just matters if we had a good
I
time.
just want everybody to
Yeah.
have fun. I just want both
Yep.
teams to have fun.
Oh. You know what's funny? We never talked about this, but what I'm realizing with AEW, Tony's not a. I mean, I know we've always talked about Tony not being a booker, but this was it was such his lack of being a booker was on full display with this when you look at the ratings for the show. And if you no, nothing caused the people to want to stay and watch outside of seeing a character that wrestled for WWE, debut in AEW. The minute she left, everything went down. The ratings dropped. That the allure was gone. And it's like, people were saying like, okay, you got the Bryan Danielson match with Osprey or
Well, that's going to be at
what
the pay-per-view, isn't it?
Yeah,
Yeah.
but I mean, like they're saying, like, oh, this is a continuation of the story that they like. Or, I maybe it's, maybe it may not be them actually. I don't know who they're talking about, to be honest. It could be Jay Switchblade or whatever his name is. But they're talking about it's a continuation of the story they set up in Japan. Okay, great. Who booked that story? Was it Tony? Tony didn't book it back in Japan. That's if they're doing anything to continue that story, it's not because Tony's this great booker and storyline creator. It's they're literally resting on the laurels that were established way back before AEW was even conceived. So it's not like Tony's doing this like great thing by continuing the story. He's not creating anything new. Everything he's using is based on past success and just, allowing them to fight again.
Oh yeah, he's rehashing stuff. And here's another here to touch on what you said about, okay, it's a continuation of a story that happened in Japan. Well, this is North America. We don't know what happened in Japan, and they never fucking tell us.
Exactly.
So, you gotta clue the audience in into like the history here, because we don't know. And having Excalibur yell it at us at a million miles per hour is not going to get the point across. If you have any
And
kind of working relationship with New Japan, you need to get the footage from them, put together a video package, and let people know, hey, this is it. But for me, it doesn't matter, because Will Ospreay and Daniel Bryan's just going to be another no-selling, kick out of everything gymnastics routine. It's not going to be a wrestling match where people sell and they tell a story, and one guy gets up for a while and gets some heat, and then the baby face fires up and comes back. It's just the same old shit that we get in every other match in AEW and every other match in Japan. So
just get your spots in and maybe change one spot to be a little bit more extreme, like diving off a ladder and onto a glass table for some stupid reason because that hasn't been seen before. And then it's like, oh, there's something new to talk about.
Well, yeah,
Next time it'll be a flaming glass table.
it was panes of glass. It was like three panes of glass that he jumped through,
Yeah.
that he fell through. He didn't jump through them. He fell off of a ladder through them, and
Yeah.
in a couple chairs, because he's a freaking moron. And glass went everywhere. And that brings us to Rob the Lawyer's lawyer talk. I haven't come up with a good idea
I
yet.
haven't come up with anything either yet. I've been trying to think of one. I'm thinking like maybe we'll talk about it off screen, but I can't come up with anything. But okay, just let's talk about the spot first.
Okay.
I don't know which Buck or Jackson or whoever it was that was supposed to be on the receiving end of that spot, but
Matt was
by the
supposed to be on the receiving end. Matthew, sorry, we have to use their EVP names, because
Oh
they're
yeah.
big boys now. They got their big boy panties on.
I don't even know their names. I always confuse it every week. I'm like, and people, if you see my Twitter account, I'm genuinely not sure what their names are. Like, I know it's something Buck. And it could, or it could be Jackson. I think Buck was when they were in TNA. Like, but whatever. It's immaterial. I'm not being, I'm not trolling. I really do not know their names and I don't care to learn
So
them.
Matthew was supposed to be on the glass, and Nicholas pulled him off before
Well
Darby
before
jumped.
Darby even jumped.
Which mean, which, why did Darby jump if the person he was supposed to go through the glass with moved?
Well, here's the thing too. The guy wasn't even laying on the glass. He was
He
propped
was
up
standing in
against
front of
it.
it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, what was that move going to do? If anything, I mean, I guess it sends him through the glass, but it's not going to amount to anything really.
It's almost like it
But
was very poorly conceived and even more poorly executed.
I like the fact, I do like the fact though that we learned that the spot had a contingency plan in set into it, that if Darby somehow severely injured himself, they had a different finish set up. That's not safe booking. That's not being a safe company. That's being a that's being, I guess, proactive in the sense that you're making sure you have a backup plan should someone die. But that's not someone telling me you're safe. The entire plan was if Darby falls and can't continue the match, we got to have a different ending.
Here's an
Horrible.
idea. Don't do the stupid bullshit fucking
Yeah.
spot to begin with, and then you
Yeah.
don't have to worry about if the guy kills himself and during the spot because he's not going to because you're not doing the spot.
Exactly.
But
They don't have to worry about a contingency plan. But let's
oh.
talk about now about like the ramifications. So
Yes.
everybody was pointing out, well, AEW puts out the sign at the beginning of every show that says, you assume the risk by sitting ringside, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So there is this concept in law called the assumption of risk, where, if you're a spectator or if you're playing a sport, anything, there are certain risks involved and you can't sue if you're part of those risks. Now, it developed later on with sporting events like baseball and hockey, where where a baseball franchise wouldn't be responsible for any balls that could hit into the fans, not because they put a little warning at the beginning or warn people, but because it was foreseeable that a ball could fly into the fans into where they're sitting. But what the law did was they imposed a, I don't want to say they imposed a duty because it's more of a non-duty, but they look at, what are you doing to protect them? They put up a net. The net can only do so much. Sometimes the ball goes through the net, but you took the right amount of steps to make your audience safe.
Yes.
When you look at this spot, first off, it's not foreseeable that a jackass would dive through a glass table in a professional wrestling match.
No.
That's not, even if it was a hardcore match, no one is thinking, like, I can't think of any person. I can't think of any spot prior to this where someone went through a glass table.
No.
So it's not really foreseeable on, in the broadest of terms. But then you have to look at what did Tony Khan and AEW do to protect the fans from it? Were there barriers put up? Oh, there was ringside barriers to protect them from wrestlers falling into them, but not to protect them from shards of glass, tempered glass, or whatever you want to call it. There were, it was the tables were positioned right next to the audiences. I mean, they could have done it maybe on the on the ramp or something to
Yeah.
really to put it a little far away. But there was no, they didn't really do anything to protect the audience by giving them a distance. So there was no barriers for glass. There was everything was pretty much in the fans' face. That's nothing. None of that is foreseeable, and none of that's going to say, well, you assume the risk by sitting there. You assume the risk by going to a baseball game because if you're sitting close on the first baseline, because that's going to happen. It's
Yeah.
happened it happens all the time.
That's why people bring gloves to the games
Yeah, no
to
one's
catch a
thinking,
foul ball.
no one's going to be wearing a metal, mesh around their face to protect them from shards of glass being flown at them. So that, I mean, first off, the disclaimer itself would never work. That's not a thing. That's that's not why the baseball rule works.
Scott Steiner's in the crowd. He turns his little
Chainmail.
chainmail backwards so it covers, he doesn't get glass
Yeah, I mean that would be if Tony Khan handed those out to everybody for this match, then yeah, okay, you did stuff to protect them. Your liability is probably gonna be negligible at
I
this
mean, you're
point.
also telegraphing that they're going to do a spot where glass is going to go flying in the audience too, but
Yeah.
they don't care about knowing what the spots are beforehand
They just
anyway.
want to see it,
Anyway,
how cool it looks.
yeah, they just want to
So,
see the car crash.
like I read the article saying that, oh, they AEW denied liability or something like that to some fans who complained because they, I mean, those fans could easily sue. There's definitely an argument, a colorable argument to make that, there was no assumption of risk sitting ringside because, no one would know that glass would be in your face.
Well, it's like if you go, okay, just follow me with this. If you go to a hotel, right, and they got a swimming pool, no lifeguard on duty, swim at your own risk. If something happens involving, usual swimming stuff, somebody drowns or hits their head because they've, dove in when they shouldn't have or something like that, you probably can't sue the hotel. If you get hit by a fucking car while you're in the pool, that's not something you could possibly foresee. Do you see what I'm
Well, I mean,
saying?
oh, yeah, okay, yeah, exactly. But I mean, a more realistic situation where a car doesn't just drive into your pool.
I don't
You're in
know.
the
I've seen a
pool.
lot of cars drive into pools over the years, but maybe that's just in movies.
Mean, Florida is kind of known for some stupid things too in
Yeah,
pools,
Florida
but
man hit by car while swimming in above ground pool.
yeah. But so okay, like the drainage, that they have those like little, I don't know what they're called, but the little like, airflow valves that
Yeah,
stick,
yeah, yeah.
pull everything in. You get caught in there. I mean, it's at that point, maybe that's not, because you're messing around with it. At that point, you can make the argument, well, that's not it. You didn't assume the risk was swimming there because you decided to, fuck around and find out. So there are certain things. I mean, obviously, you would probably lose that case, but there's situations where you can only look at what's foreseeable to assume the risk. You can't be like, okay, well, I'm going to go to a wrestling match and I'm going to, like, when WCW brought that stupid tiger in for Scott Steiner, had that tiger gone crazy and attacked people, the WCW and Ted Turner couldn't have been like, whoa, we have this warning. You assume the risk. No one on God's green earth would have known that tiger was going to be in a wrestling match when you bought the ticket, let alone when you sat there for the first 2 hours. So,
I didn't pick up the extra tiger mauling insurance on my way into
yeah,
the building today.
exactly. No, so like it's to think that you could escape liability based on a warning is,
Preposterous.
is asinine at best, pure stupidity at worst, because it's one of the situations where, it's you got to look at what's this, like what's in the scope of what you're doing, and I didn't want to get into these arguments with everybody in there. I got into a few, but none of them really key. There's no change in their mind. They are set on their ways as to what's going to happen,
Oh, yeah.
and they think, they oh, this is why Meltzer says everybody went to college, because everybody, whenever there's a issue involving anything criminal or civil with WWE or AEW, everybody becomes a law student and knows what the law is.
Well, you see, the thing is that is actually correct information. If you look at the overall income of people who say they're AEW fans, then they have a higher per capita income than say a WWE fan who are also racist. And if if you sit in the front row and you get hit by glass, well, plans change.
You know what? I'll give him one thing though. If it was a pyrotechnic issue, because where the people sitting close to the entrance, maybe that could be, protected. I still would be on the plaintiff side on that one, making an argument like saying that, that was not foreseeable that that would explode on me.
What if you got
But
shot by Alec Baldwin?
well, I mean, there's your best answer. There's your best situation.
I
I mean,
showed up to work as a costumer and I got killed by Alec Baldwin.
yeah, maybe we shouldn't laugh at that, but that's exactly it. I mean, that's the whole assumption of risk. That's perfectly how it played out. Does it just, do you assume you're going to get killed doing what you're doing? Probably not,
No.
if it's done correctly.
Yes.
And that's what they're looking at. If done correctly, it's basically the easiest way to say explain it.
Well, they can't. I mean, in AEW, they don't care about hurting the freaking wrestlers, let alone the audience.
Oh yeah.
You know, now, and if, believe me, I would sue. I would sue in a heartbeat. I'd sue for an ungodly amount of money and offer Tony Khan a settled to settle out of court. Why? Because he's a freak. His dad's a freaking billionaire, and I would like a lot of money, please. I got scratches on my face
Money me.
from your stupid glass spot. Please give me some money, as my face will never be the same again. So,
I just
speaking.
I feel like that was the worst way to honor Sting, because you had people now not even remembering how the finish went. You had some idiot overshadowing him by doing something insanely stupid.
Well, I mean, the finish was great. The whole match was really, I mean, come on. It was the Young Bucks. I didn't watch it, so I guess I can't really say much. From what I've seen from the clips, it wasn't very good. The best thing about it was his sons, who look more like wrestlers than anybody else in the ring,
Yeah. Hitting the
dressing
stinger
up,
splashes.
yeah, dressing up Surfer Sting and Crow Sting, or
Yeah.
Wolfpack Sting. Like, but yeah, that was, that was it. That was the most exciting part of Sting's farewell for me. And then they apparently cut off his retirement speech.
Yep, because they didn't have an overrun
Yeah,
handy.
on the pay-per-view. So yeah,
Yeah.
that's great. So yeah, I'm sure Jericho needed that extra 20 minutes in his match.
Oh yeah.
Why'd there even need to be a Jericho match? Well, he was at that stupid fucking meat match anyway.
Gauntlets. Well,
The
it was changed to a gauntlet match or
it
something. I
was
don't know what
changed
it
to a,
was.
was it a gauntlet match? I thought it was just a like 8-man whatever over the top
Battle
rope,
Royal kind of thing, yeah.
you
Probably.
know.
I only watched for the Sting thing.
I didn't watch any of it, so it's
Yeah.
kind
Oh,
of like.
when I say I watched for the Sting thing, I literally mean I went to see who was posting about it on Twitter. That was it.
Yeah, I did pretty much the same thing. Like, I was really happy that Sasha was at the beginning of Dynamite last night, because oh, that's all I had to watch of Dynamite. I
Yeah,
didn't
when
have
you
to
told me
watch
we had
any
to
more.
watch that, I was secretly mad at you. I was like, I'm not watching this whole stupid thing. I'm not gonna do that. I'll just catch the clips. And then it's like, oh, she's right there in the beginning. Praise be to Jesus. I love
And so looking at the little graph thing, the three dips in the ratings were right after the Sasha thing, the Young Bucks segment and match with Okada against what was that, Eddie Kingston, or the triangle of Doritos or whatever, the Penta El Gato, El Zero Miero Miedo, and Pac and Eddie Kingston versus the new gold, the new elite,
Yeah.
in the women's match at the very end, which I don't understand. If you've got Samoa Joe defending against Wardlow, why don't you put that at the end of your, like, that's your main event. I'm sorry, Mercedes Moné doing some sort of interaction, whatever she did, because apparently she came out at the main event match.
Yeah, and kick
That's
Julia
not
Hart in the
drawing
armpit.
people. What you advertise is drawing people. And also, they, like, Tony botched her debut so big, because either it's a complete surprise, which AEW doesn't need because not enough people watch, so you got to advertise the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Mercedes Moné makes her debut. We'll hear from her. What will she say? Why is she here? Who is she going after? Like, you build it up so that people will actually watch, because somebody that doesn't already watch AEW might know that she's going to be on the show, because I guarantee you that's the only people who knew that she was going to be there.
Oh yeah. It's like I feel like Tony only started watching in the late 90s, and I say that for two reasons. One, if I was booking Sting's last match, I would shell out whatever I could to get the Man Called Sting theme, not this Metallica Search and Destroy. I think it was. That wasn't what he was known for. That wasn't even his like crow pers I mean, he wrestled with the black and white with that theme music, but it wasn't like what his most known theme. In fact, I would argue at this point it was his TNA theme that was probably more known. But so he didn't pay attention to like the 80s wrestling. But also, he booked it like the NWO, but he forgot the how the NWO really works. So yes, you have surprise wrestlers coming in every week making a debut. But when you had a big name like Bret Hart, Bischoff knew we're going to talk about Bret Hart for a while. We're going to talk, they had an entire segment after the week after the screw job where they had like the NWO talking about Bret Hart coming in. They were singing the Canadian national anthem. They were doing everything to recruit him, and people knew Bret was coming. They didn't just, they didn't rely on rumors. I mean, the internet wasn't a big thing at the time, but they didn't rely on rumors. They didn't rely on like, oh, dirt sheets to try to generate interest. They were like, okay, we're a TV company. I'm sorry, we're a TV show. We gotta promote this.
Yeah, it
So
wasn't
they started doing it.
that kind of wink and a smile. It's big business in Boston. There may be a new boss in town. Wink, wink. Ha. Like, I'm sorry. Either spell it out for folks or make it a complete freaking surprise on a pay-per-view. One of
Yeah,
the
don't make it
two.
both. Don't try to don't toe the line. Do one or the other.
Yeah, because you're just half-assing it.
Yeah.
And but I mean that's Tony. And it's funny you should say that because the episode of I told you I was watching the five best Sting matches. Well, I
Yeah.
only watched the one because I got distracted with other shit this week. But it was the Diamond Dallas Page versus Sting from where Sting went
World
from going
title.
from Page,
Yeah.
and
And
then
then puts it up
loses
for
it.
grabs same night.
Yeah, the same night, because, and I was like, this is Tony Khan. Like this is. Everything about that show was Tony Khan booking. Ric Flair in the insane asylum, a guy winning a belt and then losing it in the same night in a six-way match with people who really didn't have anything to do with that. And
And it
just
wasn't just losing a belt, it was losing the top belt of your
the
company.
belt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I was like, what the hell is this? Then ref bumps galore. I think they did like three ref bumps in that episode, and constant run-ins, and like nothing. It didn't make any sense. I was like, "What am I watching here?" I finally just,
Yeah.
I stopped watching any of the other stuff and just fast forwarded to the end. The best thing about that whole show was the was Roddy Piper and the Sting match.
Yeah.
Because Piper, you can't tell Piper what to say. He's gonna do what he's gonna do, and
Yeah.
he's a master of making chicken salad out of chicken shit. But let's see, where are we at? What all did we talk about so far? We got Sting, we got Mercedes. Let me see. I'm trying to go back to my list here. Where's my list? I
Well,
made
while
a
you're searching
list.
for the list, I know you did because you sent it to me.
Yeah.
It's in the DMs. But I want to talk about the Sting Farrell match or the Sting Farrell in general.
Yeah.
Everybody was talking on Twitter or X that it's like Tony did a great job with the send off and everything. And I do want to say it was great that Tony gave Sting a platform to go out on his terms.
Yeah.
I want to say it was great that they promoted this as Sting's final match, and they gave it a lot of hype, and they gave it a lot of, they put a lot of importance behind it. They didn't downplay it. They didn't make it look,
Gravitas. It got all the gravitas it
yeah.
deserved.
But, and this is because I'm a lifelong Stinger fan. Match is so forgettable. Like, okay, yes. Tony probably did a better job promoting that than anything else he's ever done for AEW. But when it came time to
Deliver a match.
deliver it, it was garbage. I'm so glad I just watched the clips of it that people posted because when I, from what I understand, people were talking about, that's not how I want to remember Sting. It's not. It's like Ric Flair's last match. That was brutal when I saw it. And that's
No.
not how I wish I could see Ric Flair grow out. I want to remember him in WrestleMania versus Shawn Michaels.
Yeah,
That was.
as far as I'm concerned, that's still Ric Flair's last match. Everything that
Yeah.
happened, everything he did after that was,
It's
I
a
don't know
fever
who that
dream.
was, but that wasn't Ric Flair.
Exactly. That was some guy needing money.
Yeah,
But,
because.
that it's like with Shawn Michaels and Triple H in their last match against the Brothers of Destruction in one of the Saudi
Yeah, that
Arabia
didn't happen
shows.
either. Their
Exactly.
last, their last, or yeah, that's like,
Yeah. I don't know what Triple H's last match was. I'm sure Daniel Bryan
I
was
think it
against
was
one of them.
Seth. I think it was
Might have
Seth
been.
Rollins at WrestleMania.
Yeah. But that's what I want to, I want to remember those good matches. I want to remember something that was like true to their form. Sting was not a hardcore wrestler. I don't care what anybody says. Brawler, sure. Technically sound, hell no. I'm a big little stinger, but that's not what he was. He was a guy who would hulk up, chop you to a corner, rip you around, stinger splash, jumping DDT, face smash onto the ground, all that stuff. That was Sting. There was no
Sting.
like arm lock, arm bars, transition holds and stuff like that. It was just power moves.
Sting.
That's
Sting
what I
was a
remember.
Sting. Sting was a Hulk Hogan type. I'm
Yeah.
sorry, but he was.
Yeah.
He, you
Yeah.
know. I mean,
100%. Not no disrespect. That's not disrespecting him.
no. I mean, the fact that he learned from the absolute best in the world in Ric Flair and those people when he was very young, made him a better. I'd say a better overall wrestler than maybe Hogan was,
Yeah.
but he was still, it's still the same thing. He gets a crap beat out of him for the majority of the match, hulks up, or, you know, all of his moves are basically power moves and punches and strikes. He was more agile than Hogan when he was young, so he did a lot of dives, but he didn't dive through shit. He would just dive onto people on the outside of the ring or in the ring, you know.
Yeah.
Cross
High
body,
cost body
stuff like
block. That's
that.
it.
Yeah. But he wasn't, he was never, I mean, he used the baseball bat in WCW, but if I remember correctly, he hardly even ever hit anybody with that bat.
It was only in run-ins or when the NWO came out to attack him.
Yeah.
He wasn't using that as a weapon in the match.
No.
It wasn't
So,
like Triple H pulling out the sledgehammer to get a
oh, I
pinfall.
hate that
It was,
stupid
Sting would
sledgehammer.
use that to, like if someone was if, Scott Hall and Six were in bait, were coming down the ring to prevent him from finishing off Nash,
It was
he
his
would grab the
equalizer.
bat. Yeah.
Oh,
But
no, I got you. I got you.
no,
I mean,
so like
so.
I applaud Tony for what he did, but the match that he put Sting in at the very end would be like putting Bret Hart in a death match for his final
Yeah,
match.
Bret Hart
That's
in Hell
not
in a Cell.
that's not a Bret Hart match. I mean, as bad as it was, Ric Flair probably had the most likely the match that never happened, the tag match with Jeff Jarrett and Lethal and whoever in Andrade, that was more of a Ric Flair match than anything else. And I say that very, generously.
Yeah,
But
no.
at least it was a Ric Flair match. It wasn't like, okay, we're gonna put flaming tables on this and that's a Sting match. No. No. So
Well,
I don't think Tony did that. I don't think this was the greatest send-off you could ever give somebody.
there's also, and this shows something that the internet wrestling community does not like to admit, and that's, well, Sting couldn't do anything else. You know, he's 6 years old. He can't really wrestle in the ring that well. He can't move around. He has a hard time getting back up when he takes a bump, so he doesn't take a lot of bumps. So what can he do? He can do hardcore stuff. You know what that means? That says to me,
He should have retired.
hardcore stuff doesn't take any goddamn talent.
Exactly.
It takes zero
Exactly.
fucking talent to get hit with stuff that is probably actually going to hurt you and to fall through stuff that is actually going to fucking hurt you.
Yeah.
It takes zero fucking talent. That's why fucking Nick Gage and all these people that do this hardcore shit, John Moxley, do you hear me? Do you hear me, fucking Dean Ambrose? Like, it takes zero fucking talent to stab yourself in the head with a fucking fork. Sorry.
No, you're right.
But
100% right. 100% right.
it's just, it's like, oh, so.
But fans are conditioned to do something, to see something that's stupid. Like, okay, like back in 95, 94, Slamboree and WCW, they would do these Legends reunion matches where they would put a guy who probably hasn't wrestled in like 5 years, 10 years, And they put him in to have one final match. I think I saw a match with Chief J Strongbow versus Wahoo McDaniels.
Yeah.
I think that was the match. It wasn't up to the speed that the 90s were doing, but it was their match from like the 80s. That's what they could have done. Oh, would it have been exciting? Like, oh, as seeing like Ray, I'm gonna use a good match. Rey Mysterio, Kurt Angle in that SummerSlam match.
Yeah.
Would it have been like that? Hell no. But it would have been the proper send-off because it would have been his match.
I'm
It would
telling
have been
you, I'm
so
telling
that's what
you,
I was hoping for.
they
I didn't care who
should.
the opponents were.
It should have been FTR. The fact that it wasn't FTR, and I'm not a big FTR fan anymore, by the way. They chose their fucking bed and they get to lay in it and with Tony Khan's shitty booking. But it should have been FTR because that would have been a great wrestling match. They would have bumped like fucking mad for Sting and made him look like a million fucking dollars when he hulked up. Like he would have sold everything perfectly. They would have, gotten all the heat on Darby Allin, and they actually know how to get heat. So when Sting got the hot tag and came in, it would like the whole place would, Greensville or Greensboro would have lost their absolute, would have lost their shit. The roof would have come off the place. And they're North Carolina guys, and they're fans of Southern wrestling, which is
Yeah.
where Sting was. That was Sting
His
is a
style.
is that, that Sting is a Southern style wrestler. I don't care what you say, he is. So the fact that it was the freaking Cucamonga kids and their, trampoline fucking bullshit, I just.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to be crap. I knew it wasn't going to be a Sting match. It was going to be a Young Bucks match with Sting in there so that they could get the byline as being Sting's last opponents because that's what they want. They don't give a shit about anything else. They didn't give a shit about fucking Sting. You think they cared about fucking Sting's last match? No, they cared about their name being associated with Sting's last match.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
I don't mean to be so harsh about it, but.
No, but you're right, though. If you put a guy in there, I mean, look at Kurt Angle's, not his last match, but his string of last matches where he could barely move. There was a SmackDown match where they put Angle and Styles together. It lasted maybe a minute before a DQ happened, right? But Kurt Angle looked good there because Styles was bumping his ass out for him.
I mean,
And I mean, it wasn't the greatest Angle match I've ever seen in my life, but he didn't look, it looked, it was decent for him.
Angle
And
and Corbin wasn't a bad match.
no, it wasn't, that wasn't a bad match either. But I'm saying, I mean, you have a
Yeah.
guy who's willing to bump and sell Corbin, Styles, even Ziggler. You can have a great match with, and you can overcome the deficiencies that come with age. So, they didn't need, if the Young Bucks were willing to lay down for a while and sell, for more than, 30 microseconds, you could have, it could have been good.
That's asking too much of the that's asking too much of the buckaroos.
Yeah. And they had
Okay.
stupid Darby decided to do his own stuff to get his own shit in.
Oh
Because he
yeah,
had a bunch
because
of
Darby's
that.
stuff had absolutely nothing to do with Sting either. Like, let's be honest. Like, none of his stuff. Sting just kind of laid there and sold the whole time Darby was doing his bullshit. Darby didn't even really save Sting at any point in the match. Fucking damn Ricky Steamboat and Ric Flair did more to save Sting than Darby did, apparently. Which,
Well, they must, that was the contingency plan in action.
I mean, Ricky Steamboat's the only one who didn't get any on him because he's Ricky Steamboat and he's the one guy. And they said this on Cordette's show, but I agree. He's the one guy that never disappoints when you see him do any kind of special thing in wrestling.
Yeah,
You know what I
100%.
mean? Because he knows what he can do. He doesn't do too much, and
But he does it well.
he always does it well. And because I've been watching that clip of him beating the crap out of CM Punk when he was a referee in Ring of Honor. I was like, God damn, he looks like he's 20 out there. Like, Punk bumped like a motherfucker for him. It was great. Let's see. So we got Sting, we got the Darby spot, we got the Monet, Mo Monet, no problems.
Ugh.
Oh, Cody and Seth. accepted. There's going to be Cody and Roman Reigns are going to main event both nights of WrestleMania.
What is there a stipulation in there
Yes.
for the tag match? What is it?
Yes. Okay. If Cody and Seth win, then the Bloodline will not interfere in the match. If Roman and The Rock win, then it's a Bloodline rules match and anything goes.
Okay, so you know that they're losing like one. I mean, that's got to be
Yeah,
it.
Rock and Roman need to win so we can have the Bloodline rules match because that's what needs to happen.
Yeah, because what the story that's going to write itself after Mania is Rock gifts Roman this easy win at Mania, so against Cody and his crybabies, and yet Roman fails,
Well, you know
and
who's.
that sets up the entire next year, so that we know in WrestleMania 41, which is the first time it's going to be on Netflix, they have this big, generational match, Roman versus The Rock. And that, I mean, that it's beautiful. I like that story. And, it confirms the idea that Rock was doing the long game, from at least in my mind. I don't, people can say this was a, this was a pivot. I don't think it is. I still maintain that this was always a as close to a plan as possible. I think there were some mistakes, maybe verbally when they were articulated, but I feel like this was always part of the plan.
Honestly, I can't say if it is one way or another, but I like this better than just straight up Cody going after the thing. I also think I think that this, especially with the Bloodline rules, which means The Rock is going to be out there, which means somebody's going to have to take The Rock out, gives us a great opportunity for a ksh, dun, 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 fucking Stone Cold coming out and giving The Rock a fucking stunner. I'm sorry, but
I can
I
see
want
that.
to see
I can see
that.
that happening.
I want to see that. I want to see Stone Cold come out and fucking help keep the match honest between Cody and Roman, because I could see him doing that. And he's the perfect person to take out The Rock, because who else could take out The Rock other than Cody? Cody's going to be in the middle of a match. He doesn't need to be taking out The Rock. Seth doesn't need to take out The Rock. The only one person that can take out The Rock, and that's somebody that's a bigger star than The Rock is. Sorry, Rock, you had your time. You floundered in Hollywood for the past couple of years. Stone Cold's a bigger star than you are.
Watches Triple H.
Was that?
Watches Triple H, though, does
It's not going to be Triple H, dude. That mother. He'd have a heart attack. He'd have a heart attack
Yeah.
just running to the ring. Even if he
That's
didn't, I
true.
don't. I don't want to see Triple H get physical ever again. Ever. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, I don't. The man has a fucking. He's got a robot heart.
Yeah. No, I hope it's Stone Cold. I hope that's what happens. And it makes sense too, because I know there's a history between Austin and Dusty. I know they're both Texans. So I mean, it's like there. It's there's continuity there. So it would be perfect. Just that I don't want to see the fallout on X where they're talking about, oh, why aren't we getting Austin versus Rock again and stuff like that.
Because we don't
It
need
was a
Austin
lot.
versus Rock again. We
I
got
know
that
that, but
enough.
you're gonna have those. You're gonna have that discussion. You know that.
Oh, I
People are
know.
gonna, and it's gonna be so annoying because, and then they're gonna say when they don't do it, see the WWE can't, couldn't deliver on it or something like that.
But if they
Like,
did do it, they'd say WWE only relies on old guys.
I know they're damned if they do, damned if they don't,
I
kind of at
know.
this point.
Well, that's why you don't pay attention to what they have to say and you just
Yeah,
do whatever.
if you follow the minority, which is everybody on X, you get a show that only gets 800,000 an episode. If
Right,
you
right.
do long term planning, you get like a 2 million, 1.5 to 2 million viewership.
Oh yeah. Well, and I said something about this the other day, and this is we're there's more WWE. There's more WWE stuff to get into yet. I said this the other day on Twitter. I really love the fact that everything that in WWE that happens doesn't happen in a vacuum anymore.
Yeah.
Everybody's talks about everything. Everything affects everything else. Got people when they turn babyface, they're not just suddenly forgiven for every dastardly awful thing they did when they were heels.
Jey Uso.
Yeah. I mean it's great. And it made look at Drew McIntyre. I mean, he's still in this gray Is he a heel? Is he not really a heel? He kind of is, but he kind of isn't because he always tells the truth, you know, because he's, I mean, he hasn't said anything that's not true.
No, and he has every right to be feeling the way he feels about
yeah.
it.
So,
I mean, it's really hard to not to want to boo him because, yeah, you're making sense, buddy.
Yeah. So, I mean, and it's just, and it's made him one of my favorite promos in the company.
Oh, yeah.
Can you believe I said that about, like, when they opened up with Drew McIntyre on the mic, I was like, heck yeah, I'm here for it. Let's see what he has to say.
This is the Drew McIntyre I wanted since NXT.
Yep.
In fact, this is the Drew McIntyre I wanted when he re-signed with NXT. Mm-hmm. He deserves to win and dethrone Rollins.
Yeah.
So.
And then have Priest cash in on him.
I was just talking to somebody online. They want Priest to cash in on Cody.
That's the stupidest. We've already talked about this.
I know. But I would, in the moment, I will tell you, I would laugh. I would laugh at it. I would hate the long term consequences of it, but seeing it, I would laugh. It would just be like, really?
If that happens, I'm destroying my TV.
Oh, okay. Make sure it's a you know,
it's
inexpensive
the old
one.
It'll be the old one because we're actually
yeah,
I think
a box TV.
Buy a new one here pretty soon. 85-inch man.
There you go.
85-inch.
I thought my 70-inch was big.
Yep.
Now they're just getting bigger. I'm like, oh, wow.
Well, we've got our living room's pretty big, and it's a cathedral ceiling, and we've got this huge wall in between the two windows, and it's like a perfect size to just mount a TV right on the wall.
Oh, and definitely do that.
I'm so ready, man. Because I want to have it. We want to have it installed by WrestleMania. That's our goal. Just to have it installed because for WrestleMania, we're going to sit here and watch it and eat popcorn and drink beer. And so anyway, speaking of WrestleMania, we have our Intercontinental Championship match set for WrestleMania now. Sami Zayn versus Gunther. Were you as disappointed as I was?
Yes and no. And here's the no part. Sammy's really good. He can bring out, he does amazing work. And I'm pretty sure this match with Gunther is going to be like match of the night, if not match of the year, mm-hmm. if given the proper time. Like going into this, I was thinking like, what could possibly be the biggest, the match that steals the show?
No.
It'll be, you know, anything with Gunther. And then I was thinking like, oh, maybe if they let AJ Styles and LA Knight go at it, it could be it. But I don't know if LA Knight has that, you know, I'm not too high on his wrestling ability yet, but for a second, okay, so Gunther would definitely be it. So who do you put him up with? Well, we've seen him already with Chad, and they put on a stellar match. But I want to see someone who I know can get a good match out of anybody, and that's Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
So it makes sense.
No,
but
I get that it makes sense, and I'm happy for Sami, and I hope he wins.
Yeah, but I feel like okay, two things. They
I
ended
really
the story
wanted
too
it
soon.
To be Gable. I
Same.
Really, really wanted it to be Gable
because there's still a story there that needs to be finished,
mm-hmm.
and you know. Sammy's story is, oh, can I get to WrestleMania?
Yeah.
You could have drawn that out a couple more weeks. I'm not saying it'd be wise, but you could. I mean, WrestleMania is what, a month? Less than a month from now.
Yeah.
So you have at least two more Raws.
Yeah.
Okay. He fails here. Give him one more shot. Oh, he failed again. Okay. Or, you know, like the week before WrestleMania, he finally gets into something.
Yeah.
I mean, there was more to be done there. It's mm-hmm. a bit too early to, you know, change that outcome so far, especially since he was winning a few times about in the last week.
Well, it was funny though because Sammy's story was turning into Seth's story 2 years ago.
Yeah.
How do I get to WrestleMania? Oh, then he had to go into the sex pest office and anyway. So but that's See, hey, we got Cody out of that. So
Yeah.
But
I mean, I would have much rather they given it to Gable.
Well, Gable's still, I think Gable is still building an audience.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got most of the internet wrestling community, but I don't think the casual fan is as behind him as we are. I think also, that doesn't have anything to do with it anyway. But the last, what, like 5-10 minutes of that match, I was on the edge of my seat. I was literally
Same.
yelling at Sammy to tap. I was like, tap, tap, god damn it, tap. I haven't
Same.
done that in a wrestling match in a long, long, long time.
I was actually, I won't say I was yelling it because my wife was sleeping at the time, but I was mouthing it, and I was thinking to myself, the only time I've ever done this is at a show. I've never gotten this involved in a, in a TV, in a t I'm watching it on TV.
A television non-title match,
Yeah.
you know.
And it wasn't like I
So,
was doing it ironically. I was like, no, I genuinely wanted Tammy to tap so we can get a gate, we can give Gable his moments. And nope.
So we'll see. I mean, they might make it a triple threat too,
I
because
hope.
Gable's, I'm not sure Gable's shoulders were down.
Well, yeah, someone pointed it out, and I wonder if they go with that story. And I hope it's more of a look, I think you could go either one of two ways. And I hope for Sammy's story that it's Sammy versus Gable one more time. Gable wins, Sammy's out, and then Sammy's like, oh shoot, what do I do now? He's back into the whole uncertainty. Because like I said, I think that you can draw it out just a little bit more. I don't know where you put him, but I know you can. I feel like you can draw him out a little bit more. Maybe get him ready to face a, put him in that Seth Rollins role where he will just do an open challenge. And then in that, I don't know who you debut. I don't know who's left.
Yeah, I have no
Bron
idea.
Breakker?
Well, no, Breaker's already debuted, but
No,
he could
but
definitely
give
come
him
out and beat
come
the
out
shit
for
out
the
of
Mania
Sammy.
match. Yeah.
But that's the problem, is you don't want Sammy to lose.
Yeah, because if Bron destroys him, you will get the fans off of Bron so quickly.
But I think I don't know. I think Sammy versus Gunther is the right move. I do. It's not, it's not what I as a fan in my heart of hearts want, but I think it's the right move. It's going to be the best match.
Yeah.
Now, you know what
Well,
I think
someone
is
pointed
going.
out that if Gunther retains at Mania, they go to Germany, I think, and then he can be a champion, wrestling there.
Yeah, I mean, there's a
And
good chance
then,
he might beat Sammy at Mania.
yeah. So I think if you put, but if you put him at Gable, Gable has to go over at this
Yeah,
point.
Gable's got to win his
He
third
can't lose
chance at
again.
the belt. Yeah.
It doesn't help him. So I think that's why they had to do it that way.
Yep.
So if that's what they're planning, if they're not planning to do that and they're planning on dethroning Gunther at Mania, that's fine. Now, if
Well,
you're planning on making Gunther a credible star so that he could face the, either Drew or Cody, then put him in a triple threat match and don't let him lose. Have Sammy pin Gable or Gable pin Sammy.
Gunther is shrunk in my book, because the other day he had a match with Dominic Mysterio, and his hand got put into a
Oh
post,
God.
and he didn't properly sell the hand on his chops. All the no selling that they do in freaking AEW, and he's going to talk about Gunther no selling the one attack that the Weasley heel made on his hand.
Yep.
Cry me a river,
Oh
cry me a river,
God.
Dave. A couple of other things. I got into an argument the other day about the main event of night one with somebody who thought that that Io and Bayley should be the main event of night one, not the tag match. So that was fun. I will say this: I think Io and Bayley has every they have every ability to steal the show on night one. I think they should
Yeah.
go out there and do their best to try and steal the show and be the best wrestling match of night one, but they should not main event it. And this is from somebody who really, really, really likes Bayley.
Same
So,
here. I almost wanted to give him the opening match.
I think Logan Paul should open it.
Who's he facing? Does he have anybody at this point?
I think it's going to end up
Randy
being
Orton?
Kevin
Or Randy?
or Randy, yeah. Or it might be a triple threat.
Yeah.
If they do a triple threat for the US title, they can't do a triple threat for the Intercontinental title.
Exactly.
One triple threat. Oh, and then the big news, and this is the thing that I'm the most pissed off about WrestleMania this
Can I guess?
year.
Can I guess? Tag match. Well, okay. So what I'm understanding though, it's only going to be, it's a six, it's not six teams.
Yeah, it's
It's
six teams.
no, because there's qualifying. It's
No, no, no.
from
They're qualifying to see which six teams are going to be in the match.
Do they have six teams?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Do they have 12 teams?
Yes.
Because based on what I thought I heard on the bump, I thought it would be like, okay, so if Awesome Truth win their qualifier and Regeneration X wins theirs, then it would be
R-Truth is in a pickle.
Then he's in a pickle. Yeah. But then it would be Judgment Day versus Awesome Truth versus DIY.
Versus,
and that would be it.
Three other teams.
I didn't realize it'd be three other teams. That's dumb.
Yeah,
that's dumber than what I thought it was. Because I could see it. Like, you stack the cards against Judgment Day by giving them all of Regeneration X.
Well,
and
here's the other thing.
Apparently, that's not it.
Here's the other thing, you know. And this is something I'm pissed off at Triple H about, because when Triple H took over in NXT, the old black and gold NXT before it was still just an hour long on the network.
Mm-hmm.
Had a great tag division and had great tag team matches, and yeah, tag team wrestling was like a core part of the brand itself. This is a tag team match that has nothing to do with fucking tag team wrestling, and I hated that they had Nick Aldis to say that. As a fan of tag team wrestling, let me introduce this match that has absolutely jack shit to do with fucking tag team wrestling. Nothing. If you said if you bring up the Hardys and the Dudleys and the fucking Edge and Christian, I'll slap you with a table. Because I mean,
I agree.
Seriously, like, how is? Oh, and it's gonna be in a car wreck. And it just—I don't know. I just think it's stupid. I think it's really, really stupid.
Well, I think part of the problem is they still haven't, up to this day, split the damn belts. That's one of the bigger problems.
They got to split the titles.
Mm-hmm. Do that and you have a better chance of making this work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. It just pissed me off. Made me very angry.
Yeah.
Very, very angry. Let's see what else has been going on. Is that it? That's a pretty slow week in wrestling.
Let me check your notes to me.
Noam Dar lost the Heritage Cup. I know that because I was watching when that happened.
Yeah.
That was very sad. Very sad. Our condolences go out to Noam Dar, but hopefully he will have a great match against Trick Williams next week. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
We don't have a women's tag team match scheduled yet for WrestleMania. I'm sure they will. The Kabuki Warriors will take on somebody, although they did have a very good match against Zoe and Shayna.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to see Zoe and Shayna hold those belts, because I need Shayna Baszler as a believable champion again. Oh, mm-hmm. D-Rod sent me the broccoli. Yes, Noam Dar and his broccoli. But yeah, so I think that's really about it. Do you have anything to add? Did we cover everything already?
I think we did.
Good Lord, what a shit week in wrestling. Oh, Sammy Guevara got fired. Did you hear that?
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
He didn't?
Yeah, he got suspended, I heard.
No, he got fired. He got released.
When? Today?
Yes.
I'm Googling this. That doesn't sound right to me.
Yeah, he got released today. The boss is already making, I mean, the CEO is already making moves.
No. Well, all I'm seeing right now is him being suspended.
Oh, I could have sworn I saw that he got fired.
Yeah, I mean, he might have. I'm going to go on Twitter or Xer, whatever you call it.
Twitter. It's Twitter.
It's Twitter. I still have to put Twitter.com to go on Twitter, so it's Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be, you know, I'm trying to be correct here.
But, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he got let go.
Let's see.
You know. But, man, maybe he didn't.
No, apparently he's not.
Yeah. Okay, well.
Oh, no. I don't know. I've never heard of this news source.
Uh-oh.
Total news, totally news. It has been confirmed by our sources that AEW wrestler has been released, Sammy Guevara, But that's the only thing I'm seeing in terms of, well, that's the top news. And I don't see anything else. I guess that could be true.
I mean, we'll see. We'll find out in the coming weeks, I guess. But anyway, yeah, he was suspended, which I still don't think it has jack to do with the Jeff Hardy thing. I think it's Sasha Banks.
I mean, if it was the Jeff Hardy thing, you need to suspend the referee. You
Yeah.
need to suspend Sammy. I mean, and even the medical doctor that cleared him to continue the match,
Yep.
because that was a problem all around. It doesn't just fall on Sammy. I mean, I'm not a big Sammy fan, but I will, defend him on this because, if the doctor, if they told him to continue the match, he is within his rights to continue the match the way they planned it.
I mean, but I can't, if Sasha did get him fired or he got let go because she didn't want to be there with him, I can't blame her either.
No,
Like, I
I can't
wouldn't
either. I
want to be
mean,
working with someone who said they were going to rape me or
yeah.
they wanted to rape me.
Yeah.
Who even says that
Sexual.
about somebody? I'm still like, that still perplexes me. Like, why is that something that you thought was appropriate to say about anybody ever? You know?
I mean, I can't even think of, even if it was done for a comedy's sake, just to be outlandish and controversial, that's not even on the list of ideas that would ever come up on any rational human being.
So, oh well. Anyway, I guess that's going to be it. That was a nice tight little hour there.
Yeah.
Good for
Surprising.
us.
I don't like it. It's not normal.
Yeah, no, it's weird. It's
Yeah.
weird, but it has been. It was a slow week. What can we say? I mean, it wasn't that slow of a week. There's not that much really interesting to talk about.
I mean, there's the whole Hurricane Helms Buff Bagwell kind of feud happening on Twitter.
Whatever. Buff Bagwell's a piece of shit. So fuck him.
Is. He owes me $150.
Yeah, I know. I know. I know. He owes you fucking fuck him.
Yeah.
$150 so he could buy crack.
Or whatever it is he bought.
Don't, yeah, whatever it was he bought.
What a schmuck. I can't believe I was a Buff Bagwell fan.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, it happens. It happens.
Yeah. I mean, there's worse fans I could be on. There's worse people I can fan have a fandom over.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, you were a Brad Armstrong fan. I mean, he
Yeah,
never did
that
anything like that, but he
he
never
never
won
won, but he
it.
was good. He was good people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But oh yeah, ladies and gentlemen, Rob, the Rob the lawyer will be debuting in LWF this season. Good old Rob Pinoy coming to the LWF.
I'm excited for that. I like the character we created.
Yeah, it should be pretty good. He's one. I have a whole list of people I gotta make over here. It's kind of ridiculous because every time I gotta do this, I really wish. Okay, here's one thing I gotta say about the new video game 2K24. I bought the game. I paid for your season pass. I spent $100 on this video game, and I still have to play your damn stupid showcase mode to unlock guys like Andre the Giant. Screw you.
And that's why I don't buy any more of these games. As much as I want to play this game, and I see it all the time. I see it on TikTok Live. I see it on Twitch. I'm like, this looks really fun, but I don't want to be spending time unlocking people. That's not like I want to just jump in, play some, not play online because I
Yeah.
hate playing online, but just go ahead and have my dream matches, have some fun with it.
Yeah.
And if I got to spend time unlocking it, screw that.
Yeah.
It's not worth my
You got
time.
to do it in the showcase mode. Like all the John Cena's, you got to unlock them all in the showcase mode. You only get the one, like, modern day John Cena.
Why the hell do they not have Game Shark anymore? Game Genie. They need to have those back.
I know it's fucking stupid. Like
We don't have time for
it
that.
pisses me off because like I've spent enough money on your stupid game. Like at least I've got the physical copy of the game.
Yeah.
Unlike the people who, you know, like if you got the game online and they decide
To pull it, you're
they don't
gone.
they want to pull it, you don't have that game anymore. You know.
That's true. And I'm, I've
Just
told my
because you
friends,
bought it
like, it
doesn't
just.
mean you own it. What?
Yeah. It's stupid. It's a stupid agreement, but that's how it works. I tell all my friends, keep buying Blu-rays, keep buying 4Ks, do it until they literally stop making it. Like it kills me that I can't buy any of the Disney Marvel, the Disney Plus shows in a Blu-ray form or a 4K form. Because, like, I don't want it on my streaming service. It's all it's doing is forcing me to keep Disney Plus.
You know what really pissed me off, and I think no more WWE DVD sets, because I love those things. The
They don't have
multi-disc,
them anymore?
no, they stopped production last year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they so they will not be making any more DVD sets, which pisses me off because that's like that's I love those things because you can get like. You know, great match after great match after great match on a DVD. I own it. I don't have to search all over
Yeah.
the damn the
Peacock, YouTube,
Peacock
anything.
for to find these matches. You know, a lot of them are matches that, you know, are on like Raws or SmackDowns or on old WCWs or Clash of Champions or something that I gotta, you know.
Yeah.
It really hurt me. It hurt me right to the core. Because they got
I'm
the
just.
UK got a really cool multi-disc the Cody Rhodes set
That's why I assume they were still making
of
it.
Cody Rhodes matches, but no, the US production. I don't know if they're still doing it in Europe or not, but you'd have to have a European DVD player too.
Yeah.
So yeah, it sucks. Sucks to be us.
Yeah.
Those
On a side
us
note,
Gen
I think
Xers that.
I
Us
think
Gen
Xbox would
X,
play for it.
was that?
I think Xbox would work to play those European game European DVDs.
Oh, maybe.
And I say that only because a long time ago I got my ex girlfriend like I found these collectible Mean Girls things, so she was big in the Mean Girls, but it was a UK exclusive. I got it, didn't think it would work. I plugged it into my Xbox and it played. I'm like, oh, okay.
Cool.
Not sure what happened there. I mean, it may not. It may just be. It may have been a still a region one,
Or multi-regional.
multi-regional disc. I don't know. I
Yeah.
didn't look at it, and I don't have it anymore because when we broke up, she took it, rightfully so. But I don't. I never really looked into it too much.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that was there we go. Now we're back up to over an hour, hour and
There. Yeah,
six
we
minutes.
got to
That
keep.
feels a little bit
That feels normal. We can
better.
end on that, a non-wrestling
Oh,
tangent.
also, I'm going to a live show on Saturday.
Which one?
House show. WWE in Augusta
Nice.
on
Nice.
316. So I'm going on Stone Cold Day.
Ooh.
So
He should make an appearance. No,
that'll be fun. He's not going to come all the way
he's
to
not
Augusta
my
just
house
to make an
show.
appearance at a house show. No,
It would be nice.
it would be really cool. Probably just get to see Cody and Seth and
Do you know what roster it is?
I think it might be Raw.
That's good.
The Raw roster because they're somewhere on the coast the next on Monday. I think they're in, I forget where, because they're in Chicago on the 25th. I know because CM Punk's gonna be back.
Yeah.
So, which I'm excited about. I know you're not a CM Punk fan, but
I'm
I'm
becoming
excited.
one. I'm being honest. I'm becoming one. He's not as big as a problem as I thought he was. And maybe it's just because he's matured or he realizes that, or people in general are just more receptive in WWE to his advice. And that's why he's not a problem anymore.
Well, that's what he said he wanted to do when he went into AEW was, you know, help out the young kids and stuff. And that's exactly what they didn't want him to do.
Yeah.
You know,
Shame.
and then so and they love him in NXT. I wouldn't be surprised if in 2 to 3 years he's a full-time NXT trainer or on-air general manager.
I can see it.
Because I think that would be a great place for him because God, if there's anybody to teach these kids real like old school wrestling, how to sell shit like that, it's probably CM Punk. You know, because I think he has a full understanding of wrestling. You know, I mean, even Paul Heyman said that Punk's understanding of booking and in-ring psychology is years and years and years beyond his experience. And that was what during his first WWE run.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think they would benefit a lot from having Punk in that position. And then there's the flip side. There's Adam Copeland, who is now a raccoon, apparently. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. He was wearing a mask. I don't think that's his permanent gimmick.
No, but it just, I was just like, what is he doing? Like, and then somebody was like, oh, he went there to work with help out the young guys. And I was like, who has he put over since he's gotten there?
Yeah.
Who has gotten over on him? He's worked with Christian and who else? Like, I'm sorry. The guy didn't put over Finn Balor in Hell in a Cell at WrestleMania when he should have.
Yeah.
So, screw it. Screw him. He's like a lot of guys, and I've said this, I'm sure I've said this before on here, but there are guys in the WWE that are WWE products. And by that, I mean they've succeeded because the WWE machine is behind them and giving them promos and booking them correctly to get them over, to get the audience interested in them. Edge
Yeah.
is one of those guys. Without the WWE machine behind him, I don't think he has the first fucking clue how to get over.
I mean, up until from he's been in the system for 90% of his career. So I can see how he may think he knows what he's doing. But I can also say that he probably he's probably behind on it. So I agree.
And also, everybody says that he's a very nice guy. Does he have the balls to stand up to Tony and say, no, I'm doing this?
Yeah.
Like, because I don't
I
think that there's
mean,
anybody that does have the balls to stand up to Tony and say that, except for the EVPs, because they know how to work him.
yeah.
And Sasha's going to be one of those people, but she's going to get some backlash from Britt Baker and her crew. So that'll be fun.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be the female version of CM Punk, only I think it's going to be worse because I think old Mercedes is going to talk shit out and about in the world more than Punk did.
Yeah. Although honestly, and I just don't see her lasting the 3 years in with her contract.
At $10 million a year.
Yeah, I don't see it. I
Who the
see her
hell?
leaving.
She's not worth $10 million over 3 years.
No.
I mean, I'm sorry,
If
but
I'm Triple H, and Ospreay came up to me and said, AEW is giving me this. Can you match it? Mercedes comes up to him and goes, they're gonna give me this. Can you match it? I would be like, go have fun. I'll see you in 3 years. If your stock is still high. I can tell you right now, if Miro ever gets released, he will be a bargain pickup.
He will
Because
be.
he has done nothing.
No, he
I'm
hasn't.
sure
He
I'm
hasn't
sure
done anything.
Andrade was a steal of a deal.
Well,
And I
you look at the other people. Shawn Spears, I'm sure, has a you got Alexis King. Of course, he is an unknown quantity, but Shawn Spears is an unknown quantity too because he never really got a chance to really get over on the main roster because of Vince's booking. He was over like wildfire in NXT, So we'll see. Like I said last week, Triple H is putting together a well-balanced, very, very good team of utility players and stars, whereas Tony Khan is just buying any free agent he can and hoping he can find somewhere to book him.
Tony Khan, in like I'm putting this in terms of I can understand, for example, I'm a Pokemon card collector. Tony Khan is going out and buying every single high value card, hoping that it stays valuable. Meanwhile, Triple H is buying every meta card and hope and using it to build a strong theme deck to actually use. And Tony's gonna learn quickly that these wrestlers have a shelf limit. And if you're not using them, it's not as it's it, it or you're not using them as effectively as you could be, the fans don't care anymore.
Well, they don't. I mean, look at everybody who's gone there. Daniel Bryan, Edge, pretty much everybody except for what, maybe Samoa Joe and Christian. They're just other people on the roster. they're not, you know, nobody, you know, nobody's tuning in. Oh, Daniel Bryan's got a big match. You better watch it. No, I don't care. Mainly because he's fighting Eddie fucking Kingston or Ocean Spray or
All for respect.
Take a shit.
You must respect me.
Oh yeah, you got to respect. That's another thing. I was talking to somebody about this. Here's another tangent about that whole thing in the locker room afterwards, because I'm sure you've seen that clip of him like, "Oh, I'm
Yeah,
so
I have.
happy for what you did for me. You know, I just want the respect of the boys." Here's the thing. I'd love to see that clip in like 15, 20 years when all of these people are retired and they're going back and they're reminiscing and they show this as like, you know, oh, this was, you know, that's the time that I really felt like I had made it in AEW when Daniel Bryan, you know, went out there and showed me respect and, you know, he put me in, he put a good match in with me and really like helped get me over. That's when I want to see that. I don't want to see that right after it fucking happens, because it exposes the fucking business. It basically
100%.
says, "Oh, well, all this is fake, so thanks for having a good fake fight with me and making me look good." Does that make sense?
Does 100%.
You know, and it doesn't help that Eddie Kingston's a fat piece of shit too. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but like. And I'm, you know, I'm a huge Dusty Rhodes fan, and he always gets compared to Dusty, but he's no Dusty Rhodes. He couldn't lace Dusty Rhodes' boots, you know. And the comparison, I mean, okay, Eddie Kingston can cut a pretty good promo, but as soon as he gets in the ring and starts working, it takes the other person has to make him look good, because he can't
Yeah.
look good on his own. Because his shit looks awful. So that's why I call him a fat piece of shit, because he is. You're stealing money, Eddie. You're stealing, you fat piece of shit. As Ernie Ladd would say. It's what Ernie Ladd used to say to King Kong Bundy. You're stealing, Bundy. You're stealing, you fat piece of shit, Bundy.
Yeah, but Bundy had more talent than Eddie.
Well,
So let's not. That's where the
he did.
comparison. That's
He
where the
did.
comparison like dies.
Well, because Bundy looked like a scary motherfucker, man. I was scared of King Kong Bundy when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like, I was
Eddie
like,
just looks like a guy you wouldn't want to like meet in the backyard of a not backyard, but not on the side of a 7-Eleven.
yeah.
That's it. It's like, okay, you stay over there, sir. I'm good.
Eddie Kingston looks like the guy you meet at a party and does nothing but talk your fucking ear off the whole time and you can't get away from him.
Reminiscing about his high school days where he peaked.
Yeah. Oh.
Ugh. I can't believe there was a brief second where I thought I was going to be an Eddie Kingston fan.
When he came in and had that match against Cody, I was
Wasn't even
like,
that.
"Oh, really?"
No, it was when he was part of the DCC and TNA.
Oh, okay.
Him, James Storm, what is his name? Some guy who I think he was arrested or something for like some issues. I can't remember his name, but it was like it was those three, and I'm like, oh, this team looks formidable. I like this. And then I Storm started to wrestle. I'm like, yeah, I could just I'll stick with James Storm. I don't need his two lackeys to be care about.
The best thing I ever saw Eddie Kingston do was an Impact when he brought in a different LAX or the original LAX to take
Oh yeah,
on
me too, yeah.
Conan's LAX, which was Santana and Ortiz. It was
Yeah,
Santana and
he brought
Ortiz
he I
versus
think Eddie brought in the
Homicide
original.
and something else.
Yeah.
Yeah,
It was
but.
Homicide and was it Hernandez? I don't think it might have been
Yeah,
Hernandez.
it was Hernandez. Yeah.
Yeah, so the
Homicide and
original
Hernandez.
LAX.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that was the best thing that I ever saw Eddie Kingston do.
Yeah. And it wasn't him really doing it. It was more like Homicide Hernandez taking care of it.
Well, he was pretty much just a manager. He was just a mouthpiece,
Yeah.
which I was like, this is perfect for him. This is great. Yeah, they had a brutal ass fucking match where they like literally tore the fucking mat off of the ring, and we're wrestling on the exposed like 2x6s or whatever.
Yeah.
It was dangerous because those 2x6s weren't working with them. Like they would just move any which way, and I was scared. It was looking back on it, I liked it at the time. Looking back on it, it was fucking retarded, and I wish they hadn't done it, but
Yeah.
yeah, you know. At least they built it up to be like this big blood feud moment. You know what I mean? Like, it
Yeah.
wasn't just, oh, we're going to have this match where we tear the mat off just, you know, on a random fucking Tuesday. That's the thing. Like, they'll have Texas death matches just because they're in Texas with no freaking
Build up or
build
anything.
or anything. Just like, here's a Texas death match. And it's like, well, that's not. No, I like my, you know, I like my matches to, if I'm going to see a match where there's going to be blood and people are going to use weapons on each other and like stuff like that, I want there to be a real reason for them to be that freaking pissed at each other that they're trying to maul the other person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not
just have it for the sake of having it.
Oh, well, I guess I'm up against you in a Texas death match. Here, let me hit you in the head with a kendo stick.
For no reason. I mean, I know we don't have a blood feud or anything. I just want to, like, you know, I just want to hit you with a stick.
Yeah. This will be a cool spot. Here, why don't you go through the announce table, and then I'll drop the another table on you and then a ladder.
Yeah.
And then I'll throw you off a ladder through a couple panes of glass. All right, well, that's it, folks. We're done. Thank you all for joining us live on Twitch. I think we got actually two people that were actually real people live. But anyway, you guys have a great night, and thanks for joining us. And let's see, you can find us at Back to the Ring on Twitter. You can find Rob at The Real Pinoy Rob. Subscribe to this station if you want to see the best eFed action. We got LWF Mud Show coming up on Saturday, which is our version of Extreme Rules. Yes, it's LWF Mud Show live from the auxiliary cattle building at the Kansas City Fairgrounds. I remember where that's across the highway from the parking lot. So when you park, you gotta come across the highway. Be very careful. But everybody who makes it across the highway will get one free hot dog and a bag of popcorn.
Even the workers.
Yes. So, all right. But that's it for us for this week. We'll be back in. I think our next episode is. It can't be the 28th, so we might wait till the WrestleMania preview episode on the 4th, which will be a round table. We will have myself, Rob the Lawyer, and Luis from New York, New Jersey. He lives in New Jersey, but he claims he's from New York. I'm not so sure. And we might have Marvin the Movie Monster with us. He has tentatively said yes. But, of course, he's a fur-covered monster, so we never know what he might be doing. Anyway, plans change. We will not have Dave Meltzer with us, though.
I wish we would. I wish we could get him on.
I'll do an entire episode as Meltzer once.
I will kill you. If I gotta endure it, it's gotta be the real Dave.
It's gotta be the real Dave.
I'm gonna shoot him down when he says something stupid. Okay. I know we said we're signing up, but you saw that stupid thing he said the other day, right?
Which one?
Where the guy, where he goes like, oh, he used LA Knight's finisher when he was talking about that wrestler who got arrested for beating up like his, I don't know who he beat up.
What?
But he, you didn't see that?
Oh, blunt force. Oh my
but,
God.
Yeah. He said there was like some kind of trauma, and he goes, oh, that's LA Knight's finisher. Or so he stole LA Knight's finisher, and Brian is like, no, this is a real thing that happened. And it's like, oh my God, are you even listening to Brian?
Dude,
he's making it was bad. It was bad.
I can't with him. What was I gonna say about? I say something about Dave when you were talking about getting him on. Let me think. I'm starting to sound like Dave now. I'm talking to myself. I don't remember what. Oh, Dave, if you haven't had a chance, you know, we talked about Ole Anderson. I'm going back and I'm reading Ole Anderson's book, Inside the Ropes, How Corporate America Killed Professional Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And It, one, if you got if you get a chance to pick up this book, I found it for $50 on Amazon, so it's gonna it you know it's out of print, so it might cost you a little penny to find it. It's so entertaining because the whole thing just sounds like one big long Ole Anderson promo because it's all in first person and it's obvious that he wrote it. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And but if you ever get a chance, listen to Ole Anderson on Dave Meltzer's radio show or podcast or whatever. He spends the entire time just tearing into Meltzer. Like, it's hilarious. Like, it's just, it's really funny. He's basically like, he says, "I did it and you wish you could." At one point. Yeah, he's like, "Oh, you should be a booker then, Dave." And I'm just like, "Oh, wow. Okay." So, yeah, if you ever want to hear Meltzer get his ass handed to him, listen to his interview with Ole Anderson. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But anyway,
okay, I'll give it a shot.
For everyone else out there, in the words of our good friend Arn Anderson, it's been your pleasure. So long.